Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hello, everybody. This is Tammy Gaskell from the Roelof Janssen Community Library, Copaic, New York, and I'm joined today by Gretchen Hotchmeyer from the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, Connecticut. And today we're going to be talking about going back to last year a little bit, to 2024, and having a look at what were the popular books last year, what were the most read books or checked out books in each of our libraries. I'll start out by just saying I was surprised when I ran the list. The most popular book, the most checked out book at the Rojan Library last year was Braiding Sweetgrass, a nonfiction book. Braiding Sweetgrass, subtitled Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teaching of Plants by Robin Wall Kimmerer, an Indigenous scientist and author. And it was interesting to me because actually right now that book is the book of choice for our countywide community read. So I expect it will also be the most popular book of 2025, but we will see. I can talk more about what else is popular, but why don't we start with you, Gretchen, and see what's going on over there in Connecticut?
Sure. I was also surprised. Our whole list of the top 10 is all fiction. And the number one was, I wouldn't have predicted, it was Tana French's The Hunter.
Huh.
The thriller set in Ireland. It's the second, it's a follow-up to a, I can't remember the title of the previous one with the same Chicago detective who retires to Ireland and is pulled into, investigating things there. So I knew it was popular, but I wouldn't have guessed it as the number one.
Yeah, our most popular fiction book was The Women by Kristen Hannah. I might have guessed that one.
That was my number two, just one
platform.
Circulation. Yeah, that was our number two, just one slot behind The Hunter. So
yeah,
still going strong. I see people reading it all the time.
That's true, yeah. So what other ones of note did you have?
It's a variety of different kinds of books. I thought James would be higher up on the list. It was about two-thirds of the way down, the top 10 list. But the third was Northwoods by Daniel Mason, which came out a year earlier in 23 and came out just at the end of 23, if I remember correctly, or in the fall of 23. And it's still a popular book. It was wonderful. I don't know if you read it. I absolutely loved that book.
Interesting. It is also our number three. And I did read it and I did love it. And we were talking about it just last night in another program. People keep bringing it up. So a lot of people have read it and have enjoyed it. And it was set nearby. I think that's part of the appeal to it.
Deerfield, Massachusetts, or somewhere in the Berkshires.
Somewhere in western Massachusetts, yes.
Yeah, it's a great book. I hope anyone listening will go read it. Really wonderful book.
Did you have any differences between platforms, like, for example, were print books and e-books, were they the same books popular in both platforms, or audiobooks?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, reflected the same kind of patterns. Yep. How about you?
Yeah, very similar. I was a little surprised to see the similarity because often when I look at our high demand holds, the print and the audio, or the print audio and e-books aren't in alignment. They are different. It seems like there's different audiences are reading our ebooks than reading our print books. But when I ran the statistics for the year, they were much closer than I see on a monthly or weekly basis. The one exception I would say is Ann Patchett's Tom Lake was very, very popular as an ebook at the top, or as an audiobook, I should say, at the top of the list for that. It was further down the list for the book. And that's probably because Meryl Streep was reading that one, so a lot of people wanted.
Yeah, it became very popular, right? Once she was the narrator. Yeah, Ann Patchett's in I think our number six slot of the top 10 here as well was very popular, and that was a book from 23 as well. So that was interesting. I'm looking at my list, and there were two books from 2023, the Northwoods and Tom Lake, and with one other surprise exception down at the bottom that we'll get to. Everything else was a 24 book.
Uh-huh. Well, that's one of the things about these lists is, you know, if some books come out earlier than others. So one example is God of the Woods came out later in the year by Liz Moore, and it's still very, very popular, but because it came out later in the year, it may not be showing up as high on our list as it would have if it had come out in April or so.
But I think every time we've spoken in the last, you know, since that book has come out, that's the your number one book that you mentioned for the month.
Right.
Which is interesting.
So
it didn't show up on my list.
2 years instead of, you know, having most of its circulation in what the year it came out, you know.
Right. Right.
Did you have any nonfiction that was in your top list?
No nonfiction in the top 10. No nonfiction in the top 10. I was surprised. You had Breeding Sweetgrass. Was there anything else?
I'm trying to look. No, you're right. We don't have anything either. Yeah, fiction by far wins the day.
Did you happen to have, let's see, we had some romance. We had Emily Henry's Funny Story.
That was popular among our ebook readers, among print readers.
Interesting.
That's not surprising to me, I think. And it was also a popular audiobook.
Right. And how about Miranda July's book, All Fours?
No, that one does not appear, though it was pretty popular for a while, but I guess, this didn't make the top 10.
Yeah, I was surprised it had, I know the book's been very popular across the country, but I hadn't noticed as many people reading it here, just anecdotally, so I was surprised to see it in a strong, you know, sort of middle of this list.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything else that surprised you?
Book clubs also sort of drive the top, you know, you automatically have a lot of people checking out a book when it's a book club pick. And so some of the ones we have, like Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt on Octopus.
Yep.
You know, it's not a new book. It's been out for a few years, but it was a book club choice this year for one of our book clubs. So that, you know, drove that one up. I think with others, most of the others, I would say, were new this year and not driven by book clubs. But
I'm sure James must have been on your list.
James is definitely on the list, yeah.
Yep.
It was number 4. And Heaven and Earth Grocery Store by James McBride is also, I think, after
Winnet. Oh, interesting.
Winnet,
that one's
Winnet.
Not on our list. And that
James
was a really popular book.
Heaven and Earth Grocery Store are the next. And that
came
one's
out
been
earlier,
out for a while.
So.
It's not a new
Yeah,
book.
It's been out for a while. I think everybody read it earlier. One that surprised me was Ruth Reichel's novel, the Paris novel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we don't have that on our list. Yeah.
I like seeing it there since I selected that book and purchased it for the library. I'm glad to see, but I was surprised that it was as popular as it was. We had one sort of big commercial thriller on the list, the Alex Micheletti's book, The Fury. I was surprised that that was the only sort of big thriller. You know, there was no James Patterson on here. There was no John Sandford, which are so popular. You know, I have these people lining up waiting to get those when the new one comes out.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cause we also have a lot of holds on those kinds of titles, but none of those made our top 10 list either.
Yeah, same here. So that's kind of interesting. My number 10, I was very surprised. It's a book from 2019, Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. I know there was a TV limited series based on that novel that came out, and I just checked to see when that was. That was in 2023. I don't remember what part of 2023, so that may have renewed interest in it because it's not even her most recent book. So I was surprised by that one.
So moving on to 2025, what are you reading now?
I have just started The Antidote.
Or just finished reading.
I'm reading, I've just started The Antidote by Karen Russell, one of my favorite writers. Wrote a fabulous novel of almost 10 years ago now called Swamplandia. And since then, she's done some short stories. and she's an amazing writer. She's I know a lot of writers love her and talk about her, and her books are sort of a little not really speculative, but unusual. You know, they almost absurd, but not quite. A little wacky, a little crazy, but really good. And this is actually a Dust Bowl saga, and it took her a long time to write because she did a great deal of research about soil and the loss of soil in the middle portions of the United States. So I've just barely touched the surface, just the very beginning of it, but I love her writing. So I'm excited about that. And what about you?
I just finished Playground by Richard Powers.
Which is about the ocean, right?
Yes. So I really loved Overstory, a couple books back that he did. And it's similar to Overstory. It's an environmental story, but this one not about the trees. It's about the oceans. And like Overstory, it's several intersecting stories that come together in the end and over time. His stories, themes of colonialism and the environment and tech, especially AI, but also friendship. And so it's a story of a couple of friends who grew up in Chicago, very different, but bond over chess and the Chinese game of Go. And one of them goes on to become, who grew up in an affluent family, grows on to become a tech guru and founds this company, Playground. It's a social media and gaming platform and makes billions. And Rafi, who's a black boy who grows up in the rough neighborhood of Chicago but loves books. So those two have this friendship that's the heart of the story. But then there's also the story of Evelyn, who's a French-Canadian oceanographer who in the mid-20th century was the first woman diver. So it's her story, and it's through her that we learn about the ocean and the changes that are happening in the ocean. And it all ends up in French Polynesia, where they all come together and have to confront the future of this island and the wonders of the oceans and the implications of technology and the environment. And a very unusual ending, which I will not give away.
Wow, it sounds amazing. It really encompasses a lot of stuff.
It does, as all of his books do. Yeah.
That's
and great. What are your patrons reading?
Still a lot of Kristen Hannah. There's been interest in some stuff. There are a lot of big books coming out this month, so people already have holds on the new Rick Atkinson nonfiction book. I think it's the third in his trilogy about the American Revolution. People have been asking for that. So it's a big month for books. There's a new Colin McCann coming out, I think, just this week called Twist. He's another fabulous writer. He wrote that beautiful book, Let the Great World Spin, a number of years ago, and this one sounds really interesting. People have been asking for that already, so lots of anticipation of those new things. How about over with you guys?
I was surprised to see what's currently the most popular book. It's Frozen River by Ariel Lahan, which is a historical novel about a midwife in Maine in the late 18th century based upon the true story of Martha Ballard. And the book by Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, a historian, a midwife's, what was it, Diary of a Midwife, I'm forgetting the title, but she transcribes the diary and annotates it and tells the history through that diary. And this book is a fictionalization of that. Also, Jojo Moyes' latest book, We All Live Here, which is a very different contemporary story about a woman with her very blended family and what it means to be a family. I'm sure you've got a lot of events coming up. What do you have coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we have two really special events coming up in April that we're really excited about, unusual, what we hope will become annual things. A week from Friday, on April 4th, we are hosting the first Sharon Townwide Volunteer Recognition and Recruitment event, which we're sponsoring together with the Sharon Historical Society and the Sharon Audubon Center. And we have we are gathering a group of 20 different nonprofit as well as town boards and commissions that are coming to the library. We are hosting it here. And they are going to have information available to recruit volunteers, and also each organization will be recognizing their current volunteers, because I'm sure you know small towns really run on the work of volunteers, and we've always wanted to do something. We frequently collaborate with Audubon and the Historical Society, and we have always wanted to do something, and this year we were able to be organized enough to do it in April, which is National Volunteer Month.
Right.
So we're super excited. We have, social service groups coming, a couple of town boards that are volunteer-run that need some new members. We have healthcare groups, all kinds of places, the Sharon Playhouse, some new nonprofits in the arts as well. So we're really excited to be doing this. And then at the end of April, we are hosting together again with those same two organizations, our second annual Sharon Community Read Aloud. We did this last year before Christmas. We read a read aloud. We read the entire novel Little Women over the course of a weekend at the library. And this year, we're tackling something a little smaller, shorter. We're reading The Secret Garden, and it will take from about 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and we start out at the library, and then we're moving to the Historical Society, and then ending up at the Audubon Center. And I mention it now ahead of time because we do have information on our website to sign up to read, and you can read for a 15-minute slot. And it's really wonderful. It's just a constant flow of people in and out of the library. People stop to listen. Other people read. It's really beautiful. What about you? What do you guys have coming up?
Well, we're in the midst of our countywide community read of Braiding Sweetgrass, which I mentioned earlier. So we're really kicking it off. I mean, it started in March, but it really gets going in April. And this Tuesday, April 1st, we have a special countywide program on Zoom with Heather Brugel, who's a public historian, and Oneida Nation, a Wisconsin citizen, who will be talking about Western science and indigenous ways of knowing and the relationship between those two, which is sort of at the heart of Braiding Sweetgrass. So that should be a really excellent program, and we hope that a lot of people will attend. For kids this weekend, we have something related to the community read, and kids are going to be able to bring their own bookmarks while doing some readings related to the story. This weekend, we also have an author talk on Sunday, the 30th, with Cameron Russell, who is a model, a writer, an artist, and an organizer. And her book is called How to Make Herself Agreeable to Everyone, which is a political coming-of-age memoir about her 20-some years in the fashion industry, where she brought the Me Too movement to fashion, and also supply chain, which is a movement linking fashion's leather supply chain to deforestation in the Amazon. That should be a really interesting talk. I'm looking forward to hearing her. She's a local author here. Next week, we have on the 6th of April, which is the beginning of National Library Week, we have a film screening,
right?
Free for All, the Public Library, which is a new documentary put out by PBS. We will be having a screening here, followed by a discussion with Anna Lee Dragon, who is the executive director of the New York Library Association, on libraries, generally libraries in New York State, the current situation regarding library funding, book challenges, and all of those fun issues. So that should be a really good conversation and screening, so I encourage people to come out for that.
Oh, that sounds great. I have heard about that movie. That's wonderful. So, there are a lot of challenges, so that's great to draw attention to those, to rally support.
All right. Well, we will have to wrap it up then, and we will say goodbye till next time, and see you in a couple of weeks.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.